SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What up, what up, what up, everyone? This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Emmy Award-winning sports analyst, world traveler, and 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lijae Doosable, and you know I'm with my guys. He is the host of Cover 24 podcast. If he could play any role in a movie or show, it would be Ghost from Power. He was a Pro Bowl cornerback for the Kansas City Chiefs. My guy, B-Flow Brandon Flowers, and a man who literally knows everyone, was a first-round pick of the Tennessee Titans and is also a rap artist on the side. My guy, Adam Pat got that Pat Jones. What's up, fellas?
I like that little slick throw-in, dude.
You like that? Yeah.
What up, B-Flowers?
I got that pack. What's up, hey, Pat?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I'm on with you. I know we're going to have one today on our hands.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. A lot happening in every sports. Baseball, basketball, football, World Cup right around the corner. MLS Cup Finals right around the corner. So there's a lot going on in the world. So, man, you know, we always got the Thursday night football games. I think there's a couple college football games on as well. So always a lot to talk about on a Thursday night. But, man, how's everybody been doing tonight? How is the first part of your week been going?
I'm good. As long as we enter in this latter part of the week, you know, weekends, you get a chance to sit back, watch football, travel. So, hey, we heading into that latter part of the week. So I'm good over here.
What about you, Pat?
You know, Thursday, I'm getting ready for a fight. So,
You got to do. You can't just say that and think it's over with. What you mean?
No. I shouldn't say.
Then I'll just tell you, don't ask me.
I'm getting ready for a fight, but I don't know. They got to get the numbers right. But most likely, I'm thinking.
So, is there any way, you know, for everybody listening, for us on I Am Athlete Tonight, Can you tease who potentially you're going in the ring against?
I can't. Because the numbers are not right yet.
Got you.
So I don't want to be blowing that up and then y'all be like, Pat, we're going to leave you.
I mean, it ain't no different than these boxers now. I mean, everybody thought that, that Spence fight was about to happen. It didn't happen, so.
Quite sure the numbers weren't right. So you got to make sure the numbers are right. The
numbers always got to be right. Hey, just give me a wink if I'm telling the truth. Is it Le'Veon Bell?
No, Le'Veon Bell way too big for me, man.
Oh, you don't want that smoke?
Hell no, I don't want no smoke with Le'Veon.
B, if you decided to go the boxing route, just say hypothetically, who would be the one guy that you would go in the ring with?
It'd have to be a receiver, man. I don't know, bro. I can't even hypothetically think about me going in that ring.
You say you ain't even think about it, man. Like, man, that boxing ring something totally different, man.
Yeah. I'm cool. I'm gonna let Pac them have that.
A lot of people learning the hard way.
We have down here in Florida.
Yeah, a lot of people learning the hard way that ain't it. Sometimes going in that boxing ring, yeah, you might get a lick, but you might get licked too.
Anybody can get hit on any given day now.
Man, like they got random people. I mean, Lamar, I think I seen Lamar Odom in the boxing ring one time. I'm like, it's getting out of hand now. I always thought, like, so let me ask you this, Adam Pac-Man Jones, because you've actually had a couple fights. Do you think about what boxers in that profession think about these celebrity fights, right? Because imagine us, we playing football and then we got – say we got social media lights and everything. If they had a football league, like how would you look at that, man, compared to you going into the boxing ring?
That's impossible. Like you can't compare that because 90% that's in the social world don't have a lick of talent.
They get in that boxing ring still.
Yeah, but have you seen the social people that's gotten the boxing ring?
Yeah. I mean, Jake Paul technically was a social person.
All right, Jake Paul, who else?
That's about it. You're right, as far as the social part.
And as far as us football players that's dabbing in it, like, we already in a gladiator sport. Yeah, it's a team sport, but it's really win by any means necessary. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's no different than working on your craft, blocking punch, misses and shots, then making a block or crack backing on somebody on the correct toss. It's the same thing.
Do you think these celebrity boxing matches are here to stay, or do you think this is just, it's hot right now and, you know, that's what it is?
I think it's going to be hot for a good little while.
What do you think, B-Flo?
It's going to have to be good fights, right? Like, you can't have Jake Paul to go in there and start. Like, people go get tired of people like Jake Paul, who's supposed to be the guy that's supposed to merge that wave and continue to fight non-boxing, non-talent combat strikers. You know what I'm saying? Like, real boxers, right? If you start fighting amateur boxers or people that know how to box, it's going to be here for a while, because people just like entertainment at the end of the day. Like, we don't care what they naturally rank. Like, as long as y'all can fight when y'all get in there, people don't mind seeing that.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it. Yeah, I think that's right. I think it just depends on the matchups, right? If we can get matchups. If, you know, if you got some guys that maybe have personal beef on the side, or even fabricated personal beef on the side, I think people are going to tune in to keep watching it. I think Jake Paul is going to have a say-so on how far this goes, right? Because he's like the figurehead for these celebrity boxing matches. He's a really good marketer, right? Can he be as good of a marketer as, you know, somebody like Floyd and keep this thing going? I think that's where it really comes down to. You muted, Pat.
I think Jake Paul should fight Le'Veon Bell. I bet you Le'Veon Bell would beat Jake Paul ass.
I don't know, bro.
I don't know. Jake Paul looks like he kind of serious with that thing.
Listen to what I'm telling y'all. Now, y'all want to break. Y'all here right here now. Set up the fight between Jake Paul and Le'Veon Bell.
It'll be interesting to see that fight. I mean, because Jake Paul beat Anderson Silva, who's a UFC fighter. Le'Veon fought Uriah Hall, who's a UFC fighter. And Uriah Hall kind of gave him that work. So, I mean, granted, Anderson Silva is older. So, honestly, I would like to see Uriah Hall versus Jake Paul to see how that pans out. What y'all think about that?
I want entertainment, man. Like, that's the only way it's going to stay around. You got to be entertained.
Honestly, like, I want to see Frank versus Le'Veon, because Frank called Le'Veon out.
Oh, for real? That'll be a good fight.
Yeah, because Le'Veon was saying he's the best. Smith. Yeah. Ooh. How about you and Steve Smith?
Me versus Steve Smith. That's
what the one we want.
I want smoke.
I don't give a fuck.
Hey, you heard it here first on IMF. Steve Smith, sign the papers. We finna send them to you.
Let's go.
Steve Smith, you and Pac-Man Jones in the ring. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Doosable, with my guys, Brandon Flowers.
I would have took Chad. Hold on. I would have took Chad, but Chad done ran away from me.
You would have fought Chad?
Yeah, I would have fought Chad.
He said, yeah, I would have fought. Yeah, I would have fought.
Here,
y'all went at it at practice enough, huh?
Huh?
Oh, y'all went back and forth at practice enough, huh?
What? Oh, my God. And I would say, bro, he helped me with being a lot more patient, because, you know, Chad, he get up there.
He got that footwork.
I'm like, bro, run the route. I'm just backing up.
Stevie Johnson, bro, when it came to route running, I felt for y'all, B-Flo, because I know they was out there. Have you ever played Stevie Johnson, B-Flo?
We used to play him every year. When he was in Buffalo, for some reason, we used to play him every year. We lived together in San Diego for a little bit. So, nah, he was cold with it, man. It's like a sign.
You talking about making up routes. That boy used to make routes up, boy, on the fly.
Man, imagine.
He the one who put Keenan Allen under his wing over there. When Keenan was like year two over there in San Diego, we was all over there.
Yeah.
Like, he got Keenan like on the release moves and being patient in his routes. Like, Stevie Johnson official with it, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, imagine doing one-on-one with Chad in practice, though, bro.
That had to be that work.
Man, this man, he said, I didn't catch it, but I'm still open. But every time he catch it on me, it's like, What'd you say? Now, don't you say nothing else for the whole day.
It sounded like he would do something like that too.
Chad was definitely one of the best I've ever played against. He's in my top three.
Who you other two?
I've been trying to tell people.
T.O. and Randy Moss.
Okay. Go ahead, B-Flo. Brandon Flowers.
I've been trying to tell people what made Chad like that, because people don't understand how tall he is, right? Like, you don't realize how tall Chad is until you walk up on him, but he get in and out his break, and his feet work is like a 5'9", 5'10" guy, bro. And he catch with his hands, he don't catch with his body. So he had every little skill set that you needed on that island to be nice out there and give you some trouble.
Were there any receivers that you guys played that had better footwork than Shaq?
I don't know as far as footwork. No, I'm talking about
Yeah, I don't know.
this motherfucker can twirl a soccer ball like he is. Like Odell might be the closest one if you ask me. I'm just talking about like coming out the ball and doing all that shit at the top of the route or it pressing it. Da, 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 boom, 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 and then
And it's
running.
unconventional too. It ain't no regular, like, his feet will be pointed one way, but he'll turn his body to, you know what I'm saying? You can't pick up on nothing. Like, with most receivers, you know when they go break down, when they go, which way they go come out, they break. Chad's just so unconventional the way he do everything.
All them routes that they running now, you know how the kids coming off the ball doing all that crazy. Oh, boom, I want to do all that and release. All that shit came from Chad.
Oh,
Chad started it
100%.
now. Okay,
Chad started that for
let's
sure.
go ahead and put the juice where the juice. Wasn't nobody, everybody hated that. Like, yo, quarterback got the he got so much time, bro. Get to your spot. So now, like, they done implemented it in there where these kids are having a field day at the top of a route right now.
Yeah, I think Chad was one of the first receivers where he had receivers thinking about being creative in their releases, right? And how you can run a slant, but actually run a double slant while doing it, right? Not too many people were doing that. Like, you see a guy run a slant, DB's breaking on it. Now this dude running a double slant on you, and it's like, damn. And, but it comes with, him and Carson Palmer had a real rapport, right? Like, it's hard to do that when you have a quarterback that's either new. Or, you're bouncing around different teams, right? It's a lot easier to do that when you have a rapport with a quarterback because you can work on this is where I like to break, quarterback, or the quarterback can tell you this is where I want you when I'm throwing this route. So yeah, Chad Johnson was definitely one of the inventors of really like changing up the route tree and as far as being inventive and in how you get to certain routes. Let's go ahead and get into the show, fellas. We have a really good show tonight. Can the Jets upset the Buffalo Bills if Zach Wilson plays mistake-free football? We'll talk about that. James Harden will miss a month with a foot injury. How big of a loss is this for the Sixers? We'll discuss that. And we'll preview tonight's Thursday night football matchup between the Houston Texans and the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'll give you my top prop bets. But first, Brandon Cook's situation with the Houston Texans is getting ugly. Now, the disgruntled Texans receiver, Brandon Cooks, will not play tonight against the Eagles. Now, Cooks, who wanted to be traded and publicly complained when he remained with the Texans after Tuesday's trade deadline, has been ruled out for tonight's game, according to multiple reports. With Cooks missing a couple of practices and not playing in tonight's game against the Eagles due to his apparent unhappiness with the fact that he wasn't traded, Cooks could be in danger of losing the very thing that made a trade impossible, his fully guaranteed salary of $18 million for 2023. Now, according to the details of his deal, which were provided to ProFootballTalk.com, the guaranteed salary for 2023 becomes null and void if Cook commits a default. What is a default? A default occurs if, among other things, the player, without prior written consent of Coach Lovie Smith or GM Nick Caserio, fails to practice with or play for the club for reasons other than a football-related injury or illness. Now, it appears Cooks has checked out this week due to the fact that he wasn't traded. The Texans could wipe out his 2023 guaranteed money off the books and then cut him. I'm gonna start with you, Adam Pac-Man Jones. We kind of talked about this situation earlier in the week. We thought maybe Brandon Cooks would be moved, but we said his money was too high for a team to potentially maybe want to trade for him. Then there were rumors that came out of Houston that they wanted a second and fourth round pick. So to get Brandon Cooks, you'd have to pay for his $18 million and potentially give up a second and fourth round pick, which kind of made it impossible to trade him. Cook wasn't traded because nobody wanted to inherit that salary or give up that much draft capital. Now he may be eventually in trouble of losing his salary if the absences were unwarranted because he was mad about the trade. Is Brandon Cook screwing himself in the situation by not coming back with his teammates and handling it the right way and playing?
Yeah, he is, man. You already signed up for it. Sometimes you can get the deal done, sometimes you can't. And at this point, like, I don't believe in that quitting shit. Like, you can't get traded now. get your ass back, help the team. You signed up for this, bro. So me personally, and I'm just stuck in my ways, like that make me don't fuck with a person, because at a certain time, bro, you're getting paid big money. Like, it ain't the money issue that you worry about. So that's one thing. Like, you can't deal with the coach, shit, come here, put your headphones in, but do what you get paid to do, bro. The team is dependent on you. And that ain't fair to all the other 52 or 53 guys in the locker room just because you and your motherfucking feelings because you ain't get traded. I don't believe in that shit. That shit is a cop-out. It's almost, you know what I mean, like a motherfucker quitting at halftime. I don't get that. Like, at the end of the day, be mad at your agent. Your agent didn't get the deal done. If you want to be mad at anybody, but you cannot give up on your team like that. I just don't believe in that shit. I ain't with it. I ain't promoting it. I don't give a damn what the problem.
Yeah, before I go to UB Flow, I'm glad you brought up that point, right, out of Pac-Man Jones, because there's so much to unpack right here. Let's break this down. Last year, Brandon Cooks decides to sign this extension. He knew the Houston Texans may be a little bit better, but he knew they weren't going to be a great football team. So my thing is, we're always big proponents of the players should get as much money as possible as soon as they can get it. I'm all with that. I'm with you, though, Pac, right? You knew what you signed up for when you signed this extension with the Houston Texans. You knew by getting 18 guaranteed next year, it was going to be damn near impossible to move you. Plus, the Houston Texans wanted draft capital in return as well. So now a team has to give up draft picks and pay you $18 million a year. Like, you already knew. And if you didn't know, that's shame on you. And like you said, Peck, shame on your agent for not explaining that. Because when you signed your name on that dotted line, you were signing up to play with the Houston Texans for the next couple years, knowing you were going to get more money with them than you probably would have got on the open market, right? And that was, you know, the caveat to you signing with them. So to your point, Adam Pac-Man Jones, like, that pisses me off if I'm in that locker room. One, you're a captain on this team. You wear a C on your jersey, right? We expect our captains to go out there and fight. If you have a disagreement with the people upstairs, then that's your disagreement with them. That has nothing to do with us in the locker room. We're going out there every day, laying it on the line during practice and during games. We expect our captain to be there. Again, I'm all for you being disgruntled. But like you said, Pac, go out there and do your job, because you decided to sign that extension. Nobody forced your hand in signing that extension. So, Brandon Fives, I want to bring you in. If you're a player on that locker room, like me and Pac-Man were just talking about, how do you look at this situation with Brandon Cooks?
Now, y'all hit it on the head. It's one thing to be mad at, you know, upstairs, the upper management, right? Because I'm pretty sure we all been places where we ain't like either the head coach, GM, the owner, your DC, somebody you didn't like, right? But at the end of the day, those are boys in the locker room with. Those are homies. Like, they have nothing to do with that. It's time that I played, and I wasn't cool with a general manager at the time because I felt like he was doing some things that I didn't agree with to me. And he walk in front of everybody before every game and shake their hand, and I wouldn't shake his hand. Like, I didn't care if I was there in front of everybody. They see me not shaking his hand. I'm like, bro, you know we don't rock like that. Like, we're not doing it on game day either. But at the same time, like, my homies also knew in that locker room that we were going to – I'm going – they'll get my all. They'll get 100%. It's nothing that I'm going to leave on the field for them. So I don't understand what – like you said, he just signed an extension. Like, what changed from last year to this year? Now, on the field, I can see why he's frustrated, because you're talking about a guy who had 6,000-yard seasons. He played with Drew Brees. He played with Tom Brady. Yep. He's been to the Super Bowl in
with Jared Goff.
So he's used to offense getting him the rock and quarterbacks really delivering it to him. So he might be mad on the field because Mills might not be feeding him or whatever, you know. So I can understand that you would want to get traded, because as a player, you know, receivers built different too. Like, they kind of divas. Like, they ain't getting the ball, they'll throw their little tantrums, right? So they wired a little different from us. So I can see why he's disgruntled on the field. Yeah. But, man, you got to play ball. Like, you just don't go in and talk to whoever you mad at, whether it's management or whoever. But you got to go out there and ride for your boys in that locker room, like y'all said at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right, that we talked about. I think it's more of he's mad about what's happening on the field. But we all expect Davis Mills to take a step. But how big of a step did you think was going to be taken? That's my question to Brandon Cooks when you decided to sign that deal. again, like he's had a 1,000-yard season with everybody, no matter who the quarterback is. Brandon Cooks gets it done. But if you look at the film, B-Flow, it's been bad. Like, perfect example, second, third down of the game last week, right? Christian Fulton, the corner from the Tennessee Titans, inside leverage, as if he knows what the play is. It's a hitch play. It's a hitch. They got one-on-one. It's man across the board. I think Brandon Cooks' route concept is a hitch. But he has the option for hitch and go depending on the leverage of the corner. So Brandon Cooks runs the hitch and go, and Davis Mills throws it like five yards inside where Fulton is, as if it's a hitch. So it's so funny because the ball skipped past Cooks, right? He didn't even turn around, B-Flow or Adam Pac-Man Jones. He saw the ball skip past him and just walked off to the sideline and didn't even turn around and look at the quarterback. You know how most receivers will look back and be like, bro, what is you doing? Like, I had to – he didn't even do – you could tell he was disgruntled and just walked off. But my thing is, you already knew that that's what it was when you played with this dude last year as a rookie. Now, he showed spurts of being able to maybe be a good game manager, but he probably wasn't going to be the guy. And it, being a veteran that Brandon Cooks is, he had to know that upstairs was looking to potentially bring in a quarterback in the future to help them out, right? Because they weren't able to get one of the quarterbacks that they wanted.
I interrupt you for 1 second?
Go ahead.
But let's be real, bro. Brandon Cooks would have not got near the amount of money that he got for the Texans nowhere else.
Oh no, that's what I said that earlier. Hold on, I said he wouldn't have got that in free agency.
Only reason the Texans signed his ass because they ass was trying to save their goddamn face from getting rid of the quarterback,
Deshaun Watson,
and Deshaun. Watson. They had to get rid of Deshaun, but yeah.
D Hopkins, yeah.
D Hop, like, come on. So they had to pay him, and they paid him top dollar. He wouldn't have got that much money nowhere else.
That's why he signed that deal, Pac.
Is he a first? Come on, bro. We ain't going in the game doubling him. I'll tell you that.
He nice though, Pac. He nice,
but he ain't no 18 million nice.
Yeah, and that's why I said wouldn't have got that on the open market. I think that's why he was so quick, five or six, 7 million.
Yeah, he'll two or three.
He got to get more than that. You got to give him at least 10 to 12.
What Tyler Boyd getting paid?
I don't know.
He ain't better than Tyler Boyd.
I mean, the yardage show he better than him.
Yeah.
If I'm a team that don't got no receivers, like I was saying when I was on the show Tuesday, if I'm Green Bay,
yeah,
I might give him a little something, like, because he been productive. I need a receiver that's gonna stretch the field a little bit for me. Like, I give him around 10 to 12 if I'm Green Bay.
But that's the thing, B-Flow.
I don't give him 10 to 12 to go to Green Bay. He ain't gonna have no production.
Players get overpaid all the time. You players get paid overpaid all the time. It depends on what you need. If you need something bad, that's why Christian Kirk got that deal in Jacksonville. Yeah.
Zay Jones getting paid almost $12 million as the number two.
And that was the reason why he got the deal in Texas.
Might be right.
Right time. Hey, right time, right place. Now we ain't hating on the money now. Like,
nah, we want all the players to get the bread.
But I'm just saying, if Tyler Boyd getting 8.4 this year.
But that's what I'm saying, because he's a third guy. Like Brandon Cooks has always been the one or two.
Yeah, Cook was the two always.
Well, with the Texans, he's the number one.
Yeah, because they traded who? We just talked about this. He was number one at first. So they traded D-Hop. Then he became the number one, right?
Yeah.
And then you got to remember who was the quarterback when he became number one.
Yeah. You're talking about Deshaun.
Yeah. It's a lot of motherfuckers that can be number one. Yeah,
he got Will Fuller a nice little one-year deal in Miami.
Yeah.
We got to put some respect on the people that he played with. Now,
yeah,
you put him with a regular quarterback, you get regular numbers.
Yeah, but going back to your point, because we got to get to the break soon, B-Flow, about Green Bay, you were surprised they didn't do anything. The thing is, like, Green Bay probably would have done something, but they didn't want to pay $18 million. They would have probably had the Texans try to pay, you know, 6 or 7 of that, and the Houston Texans seemed like they weren't going to do that. Because if you got to think about it, if you're the Houston Texans, we just gave you this deal this offseason. Why the hell would we pay a portion to trade you away somewhere? Like, that don't make no sense. So, I mean, I think that was a part of the issue. So, again, you can, the only person he can really get mad at is himself for taking that deal and deciding that the money was more important than him being happy and potentially, you know, fighting for a playoff spot somewhere else. That's on you. You took the money, and most players do. So I don't even blame you. I would have probably took the money as well.
Hi, everyone. This is Hope Solo, World Cup champion and host of Hope Solo Speaks, a SiriusXM podcast. I'm so excited about the Men's World Cup starting November 20th, and we'll have coverage all tournament long. I'll be talking to former players, top analysts, and offering some of my unique perspective as Team USA looks to make a deep run in Qatar. Download new episodes of Hope Solo Speaks right now on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop every Thursday. USA! USA! USA!
I am your host, Lee J. Doosable, with my guys, Adam Pac-Man Jones and Brandon Flowers. And James Harden will be out for a month. Now, Philadelphia 76ers all-star guard James Harden has suffered a right foot tendon strain and is expected to miss a month. Harden sustained the injury in a 121-111 loss to the Washington Wizards last night. Now, Harden was cooking this season. He was averaging 22 points a game, 7 rebounds, and 10 assists per contest. Harden's injury puts an added onus on 76ers center Joel Embiid, who has carried a considerable load during the two straight years where he was runner-up for campaign for the MVP. And the emergence of young superstar Tyrese Maxey will be big as well. Now, in Harden's absence, the Sixers will presumably insert De'Anthony Melton into the starting lineup and direct much more of the offense through Embiid and Maxey as well, like they did before his arrival in a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. Brandon Flowers, how much could Harden's injury potentially derail the Sixers season?
I don't think it will derail it too much. You know, Embiid has shown that he can step up and play at MVP caliber level. The thing that we do have to watch out for, though, is he going to be able to stay in shape at the end of the day, right? Because he looked good this year. You can see he dropped a couple pounds. He's moving better. He always bought into the team when he was with the 76ers, but you can see when Doc Rivers wanted to change his game a little, like he was all for it. So his thing is he get to sit from the side. I know he's a vet, but you can always learn as a vet. But his biggest thing is going to be, can he keep that weight off and come back ready when he does come back a month later? You know, this gives a chance for Max and all those guys just to feel their stuff a little bit more, get the team to get a little bit more confidence. And I think the 76ers will be good. They're a veteran team, pretty much. They got a veteran coach that's been here, done that. So they'll be all right.
Yeah, Pac-Man, I asked you the same question. Do you think this derails the Sixers so far? I mean, it's early in the season, but going forward, do you think this derails him missing a month?
Yeah, you know how it go. Missing one of your star players a whole month. Embiid finna have a field day shooting the ball. Then, it's got to build back into the chemistry after a month. That's going to take a whole nother 2.5-3 weeks. I don't know, man. I think Shady is going to be highly upset.
Which is funny because he wasn't the biggest fan of Harden.
Oh, he do not like Harden. He say Harden is washed. Me, Harden, my boy, I like Harden game. The step back, boom, boom, pop, pop. Yeah, I like that.
But do the 76ers play with chemistry, or they just got players that do their own thing?
That was a good one, but they play one-on-one. You're right, because that's the problem. That's why in the playoffs, you know, there's no chemistry. You know, either James Harden got to go off and Embiid get his off.
James Harden.
They don't do that. And only thing about James Harden, he don't be like that in the playoffs.
Yeah, he struggles in the playoffs. So let me ask you this, Brandon Flowers. As you look at this landscape of the Eastern Conference, right? I probably had the Sixers as 3, maybe 4 seed. Where do you put them now if Harden misses a whole month?
If he misses a month, that might drop them to the 5th seed, because it's not like they started out hot, right?
Exactly.
It's not like they started out hot, so they might drop to the 5th seed, but at the same time, I expected Brooklyn to be better. They'll finish around the 5 seed. I'm not gonna put too much on it. I don't know. What you feel, dude? Do you think this would drop them from top 3 or 4 to like 7?
Yeah,
I think it's gonna drop them to 6 or 7, only because Antoine Walker, our teammate, he told us early in the season, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and my goodness, B-Flo, was he right? Yeah. Caris LeVert, Spider Mitchell, they have been, Darius Garland, they have been cooking in Cleveland. There hasn't been this much excitement since LeBron was there. And I thought they had a solid team, right? Because Caris LeVert, remember, he had the injury. He was working his way back. Spider Mitchell, to me, you know, I thought Miami was going to be in on him. I thought him and Jimmy Butler would have made a nice tandem. But Darius Garland is a young star. They got the size in Jared Allen. Like, this team can be dangerous in the playoffs because they're coming out the gate hot. And you got to think, they just got together. They ain't even really got the chemistry like that before. So once they start building that true chemistry, they could be a sleeper in the East. We already know the Boston Celtics. They actually beat them yesterday in overtime. So, you know, them, we don't know what's going to happen with the Brooklyn Nets.
Do you trust Atlanta at
Toronto? I told you. Remember, I said I think Atlanta's a sleeper. I think they could be a 4 or 5 seed this year. I like this young Atlanta team. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, the Knicks have started to play all right as well. So, honestly, man, like, this Sixers team, missing a month could be hurtful. Now, it'd be interesting to see if Maxey really takes over as that number two star role. Like, we've seen him be able to do. I think he dropped like 30 or 40 the other night. So
he did that last year.
So it'd be, you know, B-Flo, how funny would it be if the Sixers actually go on a run without Harden?
That's what I'm saying. It's possible. Like,
matter of fact, you know, I want to bring in our social media guy and producer, Cliff. He's a big Philly fan in all sports. Cliff, let me ask you this.
Oh, my God.
We've been saying that we felt like the offense should have been kind of running through Embiid and Maxey anyway, and James Harden should have been a point guard. But, like, the first couple games of the season, Harden was looking like old Harden. If this Sixer team goes on a run, how do you think they change up the scheme when Harden comes back?
When Harden comes back, so basically last year when Harden got traded midway through the season, he came in and immediately became the point guard and averaged like 11 assists, you know, did everything right. Maxey had the ball in his hand more. But it's weird because I actually think Maxey's so much better with the ball in his hand, and he's not even a real point guard. So it's like there's a lot of give and take with that, right? First of all, both of them on the floor together is horrible on defense. Second of all,
no. You ain't lying. You're telling the truth.
Yeah. But second of all, it's like, damn, maybe they should kind of do – I don't want to compare it to, like, Russ's situation.
That's what,
like,
I wanted to ask you because I literally was thinking the same thing.
But it's like the caliber of player is so good though, right?
Yeah.
Because Maxey can be a borderline all-star. Harden is obviously a top – I don't know, dudes, what would you say, 13 player in the NBA, 15, whatever?
I mean, so many young guys have come up. Do you still put him in that top 15?
I mean, he averaging 26, I believe 12. And
I think it's 22. I think he averaging 22. But so, I mean, that's still he averaged almost a triple double.
Damn, near
a
triple double with solid numbers too.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe they should work with this lineup a little bit more and see how Maxey performs without Harden and not keep them on the floor together so much, even though both of them are so good individually. And plus, like, the offense goes to Embiid anyway, so we going, like, if Maxey and Embiid, if they develop a good pick and roll relationship, and then you got Melton on the side, you got Tobias Harris, you got guys like George Niang. I mean, Thibault doesn't really play anymore, but and, you know, different guys that can actually, like, stretch the floor and shoot. I think that benefits the Sixers even, like, the most, honestly.
Yeah, I want to ask you a follow up. Why do you think Thibault doesn't play? Because he's a really good defensive player.
See, that's the thing. He's a really good defensive player, but Doc really needed two way players. And the problem is he can't hit a 3-pointer for his life.
That is
true. That crowds the floor when Embiid is on the floor. So he gets the double team pretty fast, and then the ball has to go out of his hands. So when the ball gets out of his hands, it goes to Thibault, who misses a shot. So it's basically like a turnover every time on offense.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he was on the all defensive team last year, right?
He was on the second team.
Second team, right? Yeah. So, I mean, we talked about them struggling defensively. I'm like, you got your best defensive player on the bench.
Yep. He had 100 blocks, 100 steals, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
And I think that's why they were so adamant to get PJ Tucker, right? A 3-and-D guy, a guy that's going to lock in on defense but hits the corner three. So, like, you talk about that spacing on the floor when Embiid's down there. He kicks it out to, you know, PJ Tucker. He's going to hit that three instead of Thibault potentially missing.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe PJ Tucker is like the best 3-point corner shooter.
Oh, if he's shooting from that corner three, it's, you can go ahead and count.
Yeah,
it's
I don't got the numbers in front of me, but like the past like couple seasons, he's been the best corner 3-point shooter in NBA.
Well, before I go back to Adam Pac-Man Jones and B-Flo, I just want to ask you this last question, Cliff. With the injury to Harden, where do you see the Sixers now in the Eastern Conference landscape?
Come on, Cliff.
Tell the truth.
No, I'm gonna be real. So obviously Brooklyn is an abomination, right? No, like they're gonna be
they
playing for
are.
that.
It's a
They're gonna be
struggle right
playing in
now.
the play spot. We don't know what's happening with that team. I like Cleveland a lot. I think the cream of the crop of the East has always been the Bucks and the Celtics anyway. So I think we're gonna be in that 3-4-5 range, mess around with the
Thank you.
Raptors a little bit, mess around with the Hawks a little bit.
Okay.
It's gonna be a little bit of in that middle of the pack Eastern Conference. I think the cream of the crop, Milwaukee and Boston separated themselves from everybody else in the East.
Well, the way that
These
Cleveland team
suck.
playing, I don't know if they separated them that. I mean, it's still early in the season.
And
And
the
I'm going
way
to go off of
y'all,
what Boston has done and Milwaukee has done for a couple years, right? You have to respect that. But that Cleveland team, boy, they hungry. And
they are.
I still like Atlanta. I really do like Atlanta. So we'll see. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Dools, but with my guys, Adam Pac-Man Jones and Brandon Flowers and Luka Doncic. It's coming out hot this season. Seven games with at least 30 points. Now, it's been 60 years since the NBA has seen a season-opening scoring streak like the one that Luka Doncic has this year. Doncic has scored at least 30 points in each of the Dallas Mavericks' first seven games, the longest 30-point streak to start a season since Wilt Chamberlain did it in 1962 and 1963. Luka Doncic is averaging a league-leading 36.1 points per game. Now, Brandon Flowers, I know, and Adam Pac-Man Jones, I'll start with you, Pac. We, in the beginning of the year, kind of picked our MVP, and I went back and forth. And Cliff, who was just talking with us, who does our social media and is a producer, I was talking to him when we were picking this, and I was going back and forth because I felt like it might be Luka's time. It might be Luka's time. But now look at the West, and unless he's averaging a triple double, it's going to be hard to give it to him because the Mavericks are probably going to be a 5, 6, or 7 seed. So I went with Embiid because he's been runner up the last 2 years, and I think he gets over the hump this year. But Adam Pac-Man Jones, how special of a start to the season have we seen from Luka Doncic?
Man, anytime you can hit 30 a game, that's impressive. Like, I ain't,
Ooh.
and really, like, I'm not really, I was gonna even talk shit to you about why you even talking about this first, because what the biggest topic is what LeBron James doing on his 20th year. But I ain't gonna jump the horn because
They've been struggling over there. They got
I
a win
know,
last
listen,
night, but they've been
bro, I
struggling.
know.
Getting his 20 though.
We're
Getting his
talking about
20.
personal goals and what's the other word I'm looking for? Accomplishment.
Personal accomplishments,
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
so if you want to talk about some year 20 LeBron in the league.
This man went from Luka Doncic to we're going to talk about Bron right now.
I ain't going to do it. I'm going to wait.
Get it
But
in, Pat.
I'm going to wait till we get
We
to the
talking about
LeBron
Bron
section.
next,
But
man.
it's very impressive to score 30 a game right now. You know, it's early in the season. We ain't had 10 games yet. So, but that's still impressive though. And
Yeah.
we already know what he is. Half of the league says that he's probably the best player in the NBA right now.
He got to put him up there.
So
Right.
when you get respect from the guys that's in the group that you playing against, like you got to put some respect on his name.
Yeah, Brandon Flowers, let me ask you this. With how he's playing right now, right? And I talked about it, right? Because the Mavericks in the West will probably be a 5, 6, 7 seed. What odds do you give him to win the MVP, even if he continues to play like this?
That is tricky, right? Because I feel like Luka always had that hype, that eye on him, that everybody loved Luka, right? He's smiling when he hit a basket. Like everybody loved following him. That plays a part in you winning an MVP. But I'm not as high on him as everybody else because he's scoring a lot of points, but he's taking a whole lot of shots, right?
Shot.
Like he's missing a lot of shots, but he's scoring a lot of points. It's
So
almost how.
you calling him Allen Iverson is what you're saying.
Or James Harden in Houston, like right,
Yeah.
like he go put up a lot of shots, so that's gonna equate a lot of points, right?
Correct.
So if he's the fifth seed, sixth seed, I don't know if I can give it to him. I still think.
But what if he averages a triple double like Russell Westbrook did? Because remember, he was, I think, a six seed and he won it because he averaged a triple double.
If he average a triple double, you almost got to give it to
And
him.
a 30-point triple double. I
Yeah,
feel like you
that's
have to give it to him.
it's almost tough because I still think that MVP is gonna go through Memphis over there, right? They got a point guard over there that's
You
special. He
think
gonna
John
turn it
Morant's
on.
gonna win the MVP this year?
I think he gonna turn it on. I'm
Oh,
telling you,
wow.
I think Memphis gonna be one of the top three seeds, like top two.
You
So
talking
if
about in
he
the
playing,
West, yeah.
Yeah. Because Golden State, they'll figure it out. But
no, Golden State will not figure it out. We'll talk about
they,
that later.
Figure it out.
I wish we had time to get to it. I don't know if we had time to get to it.
Bro, y'all talk about everybody else, bro. And don't, bro, y'all be giving Golden State.
All right, so quickly, do you want to talk about Bron or you want to talk about Golden State before we go to break?
All right, let's talk about Bron. Shit, how long I got?
Let's switch it up. So the Lakers went in overtime. Real quick, Matt Ryan hit a tying three-point at the regulation buzzer to get them into overtime. Lonnie Walker made a key three-pointer in overtime while scoring 28 points, and the Lakers beat the New Orleans Pelicans 120-117 last night. They started off 0-5 to the season, but have come on strong lately. Now, Anthony Davis had 20 points and 16 rebounds. LeBron James had 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists for the Lakers, while Russell Westbrook, who continues to come off the bench, had a pretty good night as well, 13 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds, almost a triple-double. Zion Williamson returned from injury, scored 27 points, and McCollum had 22 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists for the Pelicans, who dropped to 4-3. This is LeBron James speaking about Zion Williamson and how great he'll be.
He's in great shape right now. Great talent is something we've never seen. A talent of his size, his speed, his athleticism, just like of a Giannis, just like of a Barkley, of a Shaq. It's just certain talents that come into our league that you've just never seen before. And is, you know, Zion is on the verge of being great. He's going to be great in this league for a long time. So tonight he showed, why he's going to be who he's going to be.
LeBron James. Now, Adam Pac-Man Jones, I want to give you the floor before we go to break. Your Lakers started off 0-5, have 1-2 straight.
Doesn't matter.
Are they starting to figure out this rotation with Russell Westbrook? And go ahead and talk about your guy, LeBron, averaging 20 in year 20.
Okay, year 20, averaging 27 points. I don't know what the hell you got 20.
Don't short him. Hold on. I was just saying over 20.
Put some respect on my boy name. Last night, he had 20 and 10. Yeah. In year 20.
I think he had 8 assists, too. He almost had a triple-double.
Hold on. He had a double-double. He missed the triple-double by 2. You were right about that, Bo. That's what I'm trying to get to before you tell all the stats. Hold on. We know you know everything. Hey, but look, I want y'all to know that I'm a real LeBron fan, right? So we give a lot of respect on everybody.
Hold on, Pac. I love you, but I have to announce this. Breaking news. The Nets have suspended Kyrie Irving.
That's not more important than what I'm talking about.
Go ahead. We're
talking about the king. The king. We're not. We've got time for Kyrie right now. We'll go back to that after the break. Yeah. But we're talking about year 20, averaging 27 points, 7.5 rebounds, 7.5 assists. I'm talking about in year 20. That means he's been doing 27 points a night. That's what he averaged. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know. I know I'm a good numbers man, but y'all Google, and we be talking about who's the greats and this and that. Y'all Google and tell me who y'all can compare those numbers to, and you can come back to it later, Bo's, and you ain't got to ask the producer because I already did. And I know you know, but how he's not the best or arguably second best ever to play the game?
I think it's definitely up for an argument. I mean, LeBron, longevity in this league alone, he's done this at a high level. Like you said, Pac, a year 20 to be averaging 27 is
now,
absurd.
Now, do you think what's the name? Well, I can't even speak it. Say his name for me. Who we just talking about? Dallas.
Luka Doncic.
Yes. Do you think his ass gonna average 27 points and play 20 years?
Well, you got to remember he came in young too. He might.
Do you think he gonna play 20 years and average 27 points?
He actually has the possibility to do it, bro.
Nah, that's a Brady stat. Like,
if,
nobody.
Hey, bro.
Nobody
if he'll do that I swim the Ohio River, bro.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM podcasts.